Every year about this time, we get kind of nostalgic. We've just finished Christmas, and some of us have taken our Christmas tree down. And I must tell you about last night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, my little sweet wife nudged me, and I said, "You need to go?" And she said, "Yes." And so we went out there, and the Christmas light was, the Christmas tree lights are on, and we probably have 3 times as many Christmas tree lights on the tree that it should be, and that baby just bright. And we have to shut the door in our bedroom at night just to get to sleep, amen, because it's kind of like, you know. And we walked out, and she went, "Wow!" Just like she never saw it before. And I said, "Isn't that pretty?" "Yeah!" She said, and she forgot what she was going to do. And she walked out and looked at the tree, and she thought it was the most beautiful thing. So, but today, thank God for my family. They're over today and just kind of rearranged our life. No, I'm just kidding, rearranged our house and did a lot of things downstairs and helped us. And I think the boys took the tree down, and I thank you for that, so much for that. But there's just something about the Christmas tree. It's just something about... offers hope to the Christian. We know that to symbols to us is the wonderful thing that we have to remind us of Christmas of many years. Many of you have been had Christmas many years, and it's a blessing to you. It's a fun time, and you think of the expectation that the gifts under the tree, and of course that reminds us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The gift there. And so at this time of the year, we kind of realize that the time of the year, or 2012, is about gone. And it's been some pretty interesting things in our life. This morning at Sunday school opening, we had everybody tell about some of the things that they're happy about, what happened in 2000. Some said that we had a baby. Some said that we got married. Some people, other people said, you know, that they had grandkids, and on and on and on, and their kids got married, amen. That's a blessing, amen. And that is a blessing. Get out and take your stuff with you, amen. But anyway, and seriously, there are some wonderful things in life that happen to us, and we think of those things. But In retrospect, or after thinking of it, we're saying, hey, you know what? There are some things that we should be looking forward to. I'm looking forward to a new year. I was talking to Chad this afternoon, and I said, boy, sure is different from last Christmas to this Christmas at our house. There's a lot of changes that's going on, good changes, and thankful for those changes, amen. And so when we think of these things, I think it's a good idea for us as Christians to look forward to some new things. Paul the Apostle said, I press towards the mark of the heart calling God. He said, I'm not going to look back. I'm pressing up. You know, some things we make mistakes in life, amen. And some mistakes we like to forget and get on with life, amen. Paul the Apostle encouraged us, said, hey, let's go ahead. Let's go ahead. Let's get some things over with, and let's just get on with life. So anyway, I wrote some things down. I think that we ought to do in the new year. Number one, I think that we ought to, regarding the praise to God, I think we need to praise God more. I review. I think that there ought to be some praise on our lips to God. More praise to our lips to God. All the things He's given to us. You'll find as this world winds down, and literally it is winding down, and as I spoke this morning about, as in the day of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. We know that some pretty rough things were happening during Noah's time, Genesis chapter 6, 5, and that's a long time ago. And to realize that our world is getting me, and it's almost like a plague of, as the Bible said back in those days, that their minds and their hearts were evil continually. You don't have to go very far to in your life to be shaken or to be distraught or to be upset by some of the things you see and some of the things you hear. I was at a meeting of a retirement, and And I'm going to talk to him about it. One of the big lawyers in town said a filthy word when he was talking about this guy. And one of our men's little daughter was in there. It was uncalled for, just completely uncalled for. And may I remind you to be careful of how you talk. You may think those things, and you may have them in your heart, but I'm telling you, you ought to be very careful. You ought to be very careful. It just rents me when he said it. First of all, it made me mad because I just got done talking to him. And secondly, I looked over, and the guy was doing this to his daughter's ears, little 5-year-old girl, not to be heard. I'm not too impressed with that. That's not professionalism. That's stupidity. That's ignorance. And you talk like barnyard language all over. And I'm telling you what, shame on you. Shame on you. You shouldn't talk like that. And especially a Christian. And this man considers himself a Christian. And I feel so sorry for him. I do. And he's going to be feeling sorry when I see him. We ought to praise God and in our living, our walk. And here's Psalm 9:1. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I want to do that more. I want to do that more. Every once in a while, you know, every 2 weeks I go and get my haircut, and I go in to see my barber, and my barber says, "Well, how's God treating you today?" He's always saying that to me. And bless God, I give him a load full, amen. And I'm just thinking I'm going to give him a little bit more load full, amen. And it makes, he kind of gets jumpy when I start talking about Jesus, amen. And his people around there, he's always got a shop full, and they go like, and then all of a sudden he says, "Well, chaplain," he says, "boy, I'm glad to see you." And I said, "Man, I'm glad to see you too. And how's God treating you?" You know, and I want to praise the Lord more, and I want to bring glory to His marvelous works that He makes. I don't know if you've noticed lately, but it just seems like the skies are more beautiful, and our sundown and our sunrises are beautiful, and I get so tickled when I hear them geese flying overhead. Amen. And I know that some of you guys, you would like to hear bang, 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 and dogs barking after it happened, I know, and that makes you happy too, amen. But there are things in life that are just enjoyable. The other night, we came by and we patrolled this area on Thursday night, and I don't know how many deer were out here, out in the churchyard, amen. And it was exciting, amen, to see how God, the other day I was driving them old horses. It was blowing, man. It was a cold day the other day, and it was cold. And them old horses, man, they backed right up against that wind, you know. And I thought, man, oh well, and I'm glad I'm not a horse, amen. Huh? Woo! Walker got a new horse, and he sent a picture, and it's got white frosting all over its face, amen. And it wasn't from ice cream either; it was just ice. I want to praise the Lord for His marvelous works. I want to praise the Lord for them little sparrows that fly to my house to get something to eat. Amen. I got the restaurant out. Amen. I call it Shell's Place instead of Joe's Place. Amen. But anyway, boy, I'll tell you what, I love to see that. I love to see the creation of God and His magnificent work. And I need to talk about it more. Amen. We ought to learn more about it. You get your National Geographic to tell about all billions and zillions of miles away. You ought to write some of that stuff down and say, "Do you know that Saturn is?" You know, it's amazing stuff. Also, Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my mouth. Oh, I get around some people call themselves Christians and they're mean. And things just don't go right at work, or things just don't go right at the restaurant, or things don't, ooh, they're mean. Hey, hey, hey! You gotta determine your heart. You are going to be good. And you are going to act well. And you're going to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. I know we all make mistakes. We all fail at this, but you ought to work at it, amen? It's better to work at it and fail than not work it at all, because normally you will fail. Number three, Psalm 89:1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. You ought to have a song on your lips. Marsha's out washing some dishes, Chad's wife, and here comes Mom walking out there. And they start singing. It's a funny thing. Not funny. Just, what a blessing. Just spontaneously she starts singing. And they're just having an old hoedown in there in the kitchen, amen. We ought to have that. That ought to be about us. We ought to be able just to sing something, amen. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Man, sing it, amen. Have a good time. Just enjoy yourself. People going like, sing. Secondly, I think there ought to be a better time in our prayer life. You know, I know we pray. Dear God, thank you for this food, amen. I know we pray. But there ought to be some stopping and just praying to God Almighty. And I think in that prayer you ought to be thanking Him. Listen to what it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Boy, we need to pray. We ought to pray. Samuel said in 1 Samuel 7:5, Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. Oh, how about that? Wouldn't that be good? Huh? Hey, let's just get around and pray. Amen. I think also that we ought to, in our some things we ought to do and figure out is in our daily walk. We ought to have a daily walk with Jesus Christ. Not a weekly, not a Sunday morning, though that's good to be Sunday morning walkers and Sunday night walkers and Wednesday night walkers. But it ought to be a daily walk with the Lord. We ought to spend time. Listen to what he said in Psalm 26:11. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity, redeem me, and be merciful unto me. Boy, we need some people with integrity. We need some people that do what they say and say what they do. You parents need to have integrity. If you tell your child that this is going to happen and you don't keep up with your bargain, that's pretty hard for them to understand. That's being inconsistent. You say, well, this is what we're going to do. Do it. You say, but, well, I just don't know. We just don't. You ought to do it. You ought to have integrity. You tell somebody you're going to do something, do it. Why should a man have to turn around and wonder if they're going to do it or not? Could you do this for me? You got it. Now, it's also good to say, you know what? I don't think I can do that. And that's all right. Because then the guy doesn't put all his eggs in one bushel, amen? You understand that, don't you? Eggs in all one bushel. Person depends on you, and all of a sudden you trip and fall, and all the eggs go out of the basket, and they break, and there's no eggs, amen. You ought to have a backup plan, amen. And some people just, when they, of course, at the moment, they said, yes, I can do that, but some things come up. You know what, that's okay, because things come up in my life. Things come up in your life that you just say, you know what, I cannot do this. It breaks my heart, but I can't do this. It's okay. But be honest. Be uptight. I mean, not uptight. Be up front with them, amen. So they won't be uptight, amen. There you go. So Psalm 116, verse 9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I want to walk for the Lord. I want people to say, you know what, that man walks with God. That man walks with God. Don't you want to walk with God? Don't you want people to say, you know, hey, he really walks with God. Somebody called me today on the phone, and their uncle was passing away, and says, well, preacher, I wanted you to pray for me. And I said, let me have a word of prayer. And she kept talking on the phone. And then all of a sudden she realized I'm praying. I guess she didn't, you know. And I said, excuse me. I said, that's okay. And I prayed. I asked God to send someone there to comfort him and encourage him. Amen. I want to walk with God. I want someone who come up and talk to me and say, you know what, preacher, would you pray? I said, you'll find out. If you've been around me very long, I'll stop right there and we'll pray. A couple of reasons. If you feel it's that important to pray right then, I think it's important to pray. And secondly, I want to make sure I pray. I don't forget about it. I think that we ought to walk. We ought to walk in integrity. And we ought to walk in living. Number four, I think that we ought to have a more meditation. And I'm not talking about I'm not talking about that kind of stuff, okay? Burning the candles and all that. I'm not talking about that meditation. I'm talking about meditating on the Word of God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law doth he day and night. We ought to meditate in the Word of God. What does that Word of God speak to my heart? How does that speak to my heart? You know, sometimes you get real thirsty and you take a big old gulp of water, but it just doesn't do it. You got to keep sipping or keep going to keep yourself hydrated. I think that's the way the Word of God is. You need to keep taking it in, keep taking it in, keep taking it in, keep taking it in, keep ingesting it, amen. Because one of these days, you know, if a child would study Psalm 1, it really help him. But if you just keep over and over and over again on his heart, blessed is the man, or happy is the man, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I'm not going to take his counsel. He's not a godly man, or he's not a godly girl. I'm going to be very careful who I listen to and get my information from. I'll tell this, it's kind of funny, but it has nothing, kind of, but it illustrates it. While that, some kid was going to ride behind a snowmobile. And he says, I'm going to put my goggles on. And someone talked him out of putting the goggles on. And all of a sudden, things just didn't work out, and he got snow in his face. And we were kind of laughing about it, and I said, you know, when you think you ought to do something, and somebody tells you not to do it. Now, I'm not talking about ungodly things. I try to premise this, but if you think you ought to do that, like the guy says, I think I'm going to put my helmet on before I ride my motorcycle. The guy says, nah, you don't have to put your helmet on. Put your motorcycle helmet on. You know, put the riding coat on. Amen. That's a good idea, all right? And I would just say, you know, sometimes people give you counsel, you know, that may hurt you or make you uncomfortable. Check it from the Word of God. Check that counsel from the Word of God. When someone says, you don't have to tell your mom about it. No. We're not going there. Amen? Hey, don't tell your dad about this. Not going that way. Everything that I do, as long as I got my stinking feet under my daddy's table or my mama's table, I'm going to make sure that mom and daddy know everything about me. And when you say, don't tell your mama, a red flag ought to come up. Amen, Dad. Amen, Mama. Boy, when I was in high school, my buddy said, you don't have to tell your parents about this. Or, hey, don't tell nobody about this. When anybody says that, that's a raise a flag. You little girls, listen to me now. You listen to me? When someone says, don't tell nobody, then say, you know what? It ain't going to happen. That'll just help you out a little bit. Hey, don't tell your teacher. Let's not tell the teacher about this. Well, I don't want the preacher to know about this. Well, then why in the world do you want to do it? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. God hates scornfulness. Oh, yeah, here he goes again. You're scorning. And God said, I hate that. You know what my mom wanted me to do? Look at that. You're scorning. God does not like that. My dad told me I had to. Look out. You're scorning. Did you hear what he said? I don't know about you, but I got enough problems, let alone asking for some more. And that's all we're doing, asking for a problem. Amen. So in our daily walk, we ought to have that meditation. We ought to meditate in the Word of God day and night. Psalm 77, verse 12. I will meditate also of all thy works and talk of thy doing. And that had to do clear back when I was speaking about God's creation. I need to meditate on those things. I need to think. I am the new year. I'm going to meditate on those things. I'm going to think more of those things. Number five, I'm going to regard my home and my missionary endeavor. I'm going to regard my home, missionary endeavor. Listen, Psalm 71, verse 16. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine own name. I think that sometimes we forget that our home is built on God's Word. And it's pretty hard to be built on God's Word when we don't read God's Word. Amen? Or oh me. I want to know God's Word. I want to make sure that I take the Word of God daily, ingested in me. The Scripture talks about Daniel. You know, he prayed three times a day. Psalm said, evening and morning and at noon will I pray. That's a pretty good idea. And that was not talking about breakfast, dinner, and supper either. He prayed about... Let's do a 180 here and just turn around and let's look what Daniel was doing. Was Daniel busy? He is second in command of the country. Huge country, Babylon, I'd say so. Persia. Yeah. But he stopped what he was doing and prayed. We get real busy, don't we? Oh my goodness, I slept in a little bit. Man, I got to do this, got to do that. This has got to be done. This has got to be done. I just got to do this. And all of a sudden, guess who we miss meeting? We miss meeting the Lord. So let's, in our life, regard our home and missionary endeavors and the fact that, you know what, I am going to make sure that I endeavor in our home to live like God. And not only that, endeavor to make my house like a missionary house. When my boys were growing up, I always try to have enough goodies at the house so that their friends would love to come to our house. I always liked to come into our house because then I was there and I had the influence on not only my boys but the other kids. I don't know how many times we had them over for sketty and meatballs before basketball games, and guys just come tromping in the house and just having a good old time and laughing and giggling. Man, a lot of people miss out. They say, well, I don't want the kids in my house. Best to have your kids in your house than your kids being at their house. Heck, man, amen. Number six, regarding my spiritual service. Regarding my sacrificial spiritual service. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. 2 Corinthians 12, 15. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Paul the Apostle said, I've done everything I can to love you. But it seems like the more I love you, the less you love me. He said another place, he said, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I want to have a sacrificial service. I want to have a sacrificial heart. I want to make sure that it ain't about me. It's not about me. It doesn't matter about me. I tell you what, that'd really do something in our house, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it do something in our home? Wouldn't it do something in our church? It's not about me. I don't want to be served. I want to serve. I don't want something to do something for me. I want to do something for them. I truly want to be sacrificial in my life. I don't mean a, what's the word for it? Woe is me, you know. What do they call that? Help me. A martyr. Don't be a martyr, okay? I see a lot of martyrs. Not the right kind, but I see a lot of martyrs. I would love to help you, but don't call me. Good night. Calling again. What do I got to do?
Hi, how are you? Can I help you? Yes, I'll do that.
I have to do that. Good night. I'm so busy. Hey, that's not where you're supposed to be at. Amen? Quit being a griper, complainer. You don't have to tell everybody what you did. Just do it. Seven widows in our church. Think they need some help? Got some people in our church that are really in need? You got something? Could you help them? Could you encourage them? Could you be a blessing to them? I know you're busy. You're supposed to be busy. The Bible says we're to work. We'll have plenty of time to rest in heaven. I know when I go on a mission trip, I try to throw myself really into it, you know. And I remember a couple of mission conferences we had over in the Philippines. At 4 o'clock in the morning, we'd be up, and we'd get no jeepneys. And I'll tell you what, they are not a really wonderful ride. There's no suspension on them. They're just a flatbed jeep that's been elongated. And it has four tires on it, and they ride like a rail. And I'll tell you that the super highways of the Philippines, you can get about 15 to 20 miles an hour out there. And it's a mess. 4 o'clock in the morning, get out, get on that thing, go out and preach your heart out, come back about 6 o'clock, suck something down, eat, hoping you got something good to eat. And then go to the preaching meeting from 7 until 10, fellowship with the preachers, and then go to bed and get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. People said, man, we have one guy there, he's a pastor. He said, man, I can't keep up this pace. I need some sleep. And they said, boy, preacher, aren't you tired? I said, I can sleep at home. I can sleep at home. Did you hear me? I can sleep at home. Would to God that this new year that I change my life in sacrificial service and do more. Because I'm going to go to heaven someday. I'm going home someday. And I can sleep there. But the world is going to hell. And someone's got to tell them. And somebody's got to care. And it's our job to go and do what you want to do. You know, there's a satisfaction in knowing that these I wills are in perfect accord with the will of Him whom we say, Thy will, not Thine be done. Jesus had a desire. And His desire was that everyone would hear about Jesus Christ. Everyone would hear about Him. He said, I would that none would perish, but all would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Hey, you know what? We got a lot to do. We're going to do. There's a lot of things that can be done around here. And a lot of things that we shouldn't be, quote-unquote, feel like we're martyrs. And, oh, I got to do that. instead of saying, yeah, I'll be more than happy to. Boy, what a blessing, amen. Because you're going to do it anyway. Aren't you? Take the trash out. All right. You know what would give your mother a heart attack? Hey, Mom, I'm taking the trash out. You're what? Taking the trash out. Mom, I just cleaned my room. Mama, you know my drawer that has all my undergarments in it? I just took that and threw it on my bed and rolled them all up and put them all in nice order. Your mom would flip out. Dad, I just want you to know I helped clean the garage. I just mowed the lawn. You can say that now. It takes a couple of weeks here in Montana for it. But anyway, wouldn't that be neat? You know, this is not just for us old people. This is for us young people to say, you know what? I'm going to make in my heart, in my life, there's some things I'm going to change in my life. I'm going to be kinder at school. I'm going to be more efficient. I'm going to be more pleasant. I'm going to be careful how I respond to my wife or respond to my husband. I'm going to be careful how I respond to my dad and my mama. I'm going to be careful that I make sure that they understand that I love them. I think we ought to have a good 2013 with new ideas and new things in our hearts. And you know what? Here's a good one. Every time that door opens at church, I'm going to be there. I'm not going to miss a service. I'm not going to miss a service. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to do everything I can and everything in my power to serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity we do have to preach the Word of God. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for the mind that you give that reminds us of the things that we should be doing and changing in our hearts and our lives. Dear God, I pray that we'd set some goals in our lives, not foolish goals, but goals that would be attainable, that we would be so excited about serving you better each day. Lord, I pray for the brothers and sisters in Christ here tonight that they would write some things down this week and say, these are some things that I'm going to change in our heart and our life and in my home. And I'm going to do some different things. I'm going to be more like you, Lord Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on the way to heaven. This to me really didn't mean anything to me. But I know I need Christ. I need Him. You have 2 days left in 2012. Are you sure if you die tonight, would you go to heaven?